'Tis the season for obligatory holiday content. Your friends here at Nonproductive have got you covered if you're looking for the weird stuff. I'm Frank, and I'm joined in studio by Big Papa Pete, Pope, and Al, and we're going to cover some very untraditional Christmas traditions.
All the important ones are what we're going to give you right now.
Exactly, exactly.
Because there's a lot of weird ways to celebrate the holiday. Nobody can agree on this.
Right, yeah. And not just weird as in do we have to put up with our stupid Uncle Sal, but also weird as in you have that one friend who's overly obsessed with the Krampus. Pete?
I don't know what you're talking about. There's no such thing as overly obsessed with Krampus.
Krampus, I think, is the hallmark of weird holiday traditions that have become semi-mainstream.
Yeah, Krampus has become very bougie lately.
He's got a movie.
He's got several movies.
Oh, Lord. So let's give
a
little
that saw a major theatrical release last year.
For those of us, of our parents who somehow found out how to use the podcast machine, tell us what the Krampus is.
Krampus, the Christmas demon?
Yes.
Yes, Krampus is, picture the devil.
Mm-hmm. Often I usually do.
Yes, your classic cloven hooves, goat legs, horns, devil. But covered in brown fur with a really disturbingly long tongue. He also carries a sack in which to stuff naughty children.
Of course.
And a bundle of switches or sticks with which to beat said naughty children.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
But the good thing is you can always hear him coming by the chains that he drags along.
That's the part that always gets me. It's like, all right, now he's dragging chains. He is a monster. He is a Christmas monster.
Here's an interesting thing. You know how Santa Claus rides a sleigh and you hear the sleigh bells on his reindeer?
Uh-huh.
They originated as Krampus's chains.
Oh.
Krampus is a demon that goes around with St. Nicholas in particularly the Alpine countries of Europe. And where Santa Claus is the gift giver, or St. Nicholas is the gift giver, Krampus is the punisher of bad children.
Right, right, right. And he's all the rage these days.
And, the traditional celebrations in Germany and Austria on Krampusnacht, the night before St. Nicholas Day, December 6th, they have these parades where dozens and dozens, sometimes hundreds of men, usually, will dress up in these elaborate Krampus costumes with these horrifying wooden masks that they carve and go parading through the streets of the villages, dragging the chains behind them, sometimes dragging large cauldrons of fire behind them.
You know,
and terrifying children.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, great.
Al, you had a question?
Yeah, I got a question. Like, so the chain thing, is that like something, is he in chains or is he like chaining children or like, is he like a servant to a greater power and that's why
perhaps
he's in chains?
Santa Claus.
Yes, the typical, especially Christian explanation of it is that the chains are the chains that he has been bound by or that he's been bound to St. Nicholas by. Because he is the servant of St. Nicholas. He works for him, but St. Nicholas has chained the devil.
Mm.
Oh, God. That's
and
so,
now he only performs his prescribed tasks. He's not free to cause chaos.
I don't want to hear what Pope has to say. It's awful. But we can, now that it's been isolated, we could cut it out. Say what you're going to say, Pope.
So now I guess like we've come to think that the jingling sound is essentially the body of the Krampus has been dragged behind completely, and that's why all we have now is the happiness and the jingling sound.
I don't think we've actually thought it through that much, Bob. Right.
Oh, interesting. That's a lot better than what I thought. I thought we were going to go BDSM. But all right, all right.
That's
good.
Later. A little
bit. Yeah, all right. So yeah, but of course it's not all just Krampus. Krampus is just the most popular character of this kind of like,
he's
you know.
He's so mainstream.
He's a very mainstream character. And there's a lot of remixing of this. There's almost like 90% of the monsters we could talk about involving Christmas involve kidnapping children and beating them when they are bad. Like Black
Krampus.
Peter and the other guys.
Black Peter doesn't kidnap anybody.
Oh, yes, yes. He does. And according to my list, Black Peter, who is the servant of Sinterklaas, kind of walks around with him. And for those naughty children,
he's particularly a Dutch tradition.
Apparently, Sinterklaas and Black Peter live in Spain.
Of course.
Makes sense. You know, North Pole, who could afford the tolls?
So he just lives comfortably in Spain, and he comes running over on his big sleigh or whatever.
He takes a boat.
Well, that makes sense. And then the naughty children are gathered by Black Peter and then beaten with switches and then also brought back to Spain to be servants in the coal mines forever.
Oh, my.
I don't know why Sinterklaas needs a coal mine. Were most of the gifts that Dutch kids got coal-based?
I think it's to...
fuel the factory, maybe?
I would say fuel the boat.
I guess. Regardless, it's your classic monster who punishes children because just telling them you're not getting gifts isn't enough. I guess it's because the de facto for much of human history was you're not getting gifts. You're just not being punished. Yeah, I guess that this all kind of makes sense.
It does make sense.
But yeah, it's not just monsters. There's other things other than the Krampus.
Yeah, the crapper.
No, we're not doing the crapper.
No, the crapper.
The crapper.
Also known as the Caganer, I guess in Spanish. So in Catalonia, rather than just have the normal nativity scene, they like to do the whole city of Bethlehem.
That's actually really cool.
Lot of European countries where that's a big tradition. They have huge, elaborate nativity scenes that encompass an entire village.
If James were here, he has that whole giant nativity thing that he puts up in his house.
In fact, the reason why James isn't here is because he's being forced to put it up right now. Yeah. It takes literally weeks of effort.
It does.
And he's gonna
chained to his tree right now.
If you're in the New York area right now,
you can visit Jesus.
The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, in one of their galleries every year, they set up, they call the Angel Tree.
Oh.
Which has, it's a Christmas tree decorated all in these Italian Renaissance style angels. And around that tree is one of these villages, with just absolutely beautiful figures. So that would give you an idea of what we're talking about here.
All right. Certainly. This is not that weird. It's really cool.
No, but as you can guess, there's many, many, many figures that go into each of these models. Now, sometime about the late 1600s or the early 1700s, somebody in the village of Bethlehem was probably going to the bathroom.
Oh, my. So number two.
Yeah.
So this is a guy doing number two.
Yeah, like there's literally just like
on
a guy.
The most holy day of the year.
Pants at his ankles, butt exposed, and a little pile of poop behind him.
The poop?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. You can usually find him by the red hat he's wearing. Unless you get like the specialty ones where like Pete and I were noticing earlier that they have the Pope, Obama, like any celebrity you want to get, you can get taking a poop. Yeah, exactly.
These are like the pop vinyl figures of their day.
Exactly.
The poop vinyl, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, no. We will not. No. We're not giving. No. Oh, don't. Not
more.
Oh, it's everywhere. No. But it's
Bellaria. So,
but yeah, going back, this is like a very long-standing tradition, and it's like kind of grown into, you know, just a humorous aspect, and like even the little kids come around, treat it as a game, and go see each one and treat it like Where's Waldo to find the Caganer, or the pooper, as it were.
So what is the actual purpose of the pooper? What is the religious significance of this man pooping and the birth of Christ?
Apparently somebody just happened to be dropping a deuce while Jesus was being born.
I mean, statistically, it's possible.
Really, it's just a old version of Where's Waldo?
Yeah, and it's funny, though, because, like, you know, more Victorian people in Catalonia tried to, like, remove it from the town nativity more recently.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole town came up in uproar and, like, argued against it. And they're like, no, we have to have the pooper. It's necessary. It's our tradition.
That is a weird hill to die on.
It is central to the Christmas celebration. Well, absolutely. I mean, after Jesus.
Yeah.
Right next to Jesus. In importance.
What do you think
is the pooper?
The people who get upset in a tizzy about the damn red holiday cup from Starbucks, what would their reaction be to the traditional Christmas defecator? What do you think?
Ooh,
what kind of humorless jerk
I almost like. I'm curious what side they're going to fall on. Are they going to fall on the traditional side?
Yeah. Are they going to be traditionalist? Like, all right, no. I want all my Starbucks cups to feature a man doing what you do after you have Starbucks, or else
the
it's Caganer not traditional.
Cup.
The Caganer cup. We got to petition this.
I want a venti Caganer.
All right, artists listening to this episode of the podcast, you draw this, and we will post it on our social medias.
Yep.
And credit you because we're not taking credit for it. That's awful.
I'll give you. We'll give you a repost if you just get your barista to write Kaganer on the side.
That should be relatively easy. I think.
Should be.
I know, but I just want people to do it.
Yeah. What's really strange?
We're gonna start a thing.
Yeah.
What's really strange is we're not done with the pooping in Christmas, though.
What?
Oh, well, good.
There's more pooping in Christmas?
Yeah, apparently.
Is this what sugar plums are? Is this a veiled reference to this? Because I've always wondered, what the hell is a sugar plum?
I can give you a long dissertation on that, but it's not good for this podcast.
All right, fine.
There is a pooping log that you can get. Like, it's another Spanish thing.
Is this a log that poops?
Yes, it's a log that poops.
Really?
It's log?
Yeah.
It's log.
It's long.
It's big. It's heavy.
It's wood. Except it's not heavy because what you do is you hollow it out and you fill it with candy. Normally what happens is that you get a log and then you decorate it, give it a face, and like, you know.
First of all, a couple things here. I'm going to interrupt you.
Sure.
Al. Number one, when you said you hollowed out the log and it was a pooping log, that's not what I thought. I really did not think it was going to be full of candy. I thought it was going to have a different purpose.
To be honest, I did too, actually. Yeah,
I'm a little disturbed by the whole poop is candy thing. But.
But two is, you just said, and you'll have to listen to the podcast to quote him exactly, but I'm pretty sure you said something along the lines of, normally what you would do is you take a log and you hollow it out. I'm like, that's not normally what I would do.
No,
I have never done that. I have not normally done that.
True.
But all right, so if you were to make a pooping log, normally what you would do would be to hollow out the log and...
Yep. You would dress it up, give it like a face, like
Gus, what a serial killer would do.
Yeah, and we're not even
when do you defecate into it?
No,
after you eat candy.
When you decorate it,
you fill it with candy, and then what is essentially what you're
supposed to do? It's full of Mary Janes, which are basically poop. Got it? Mary Janes are terrible.
Tootsie Rolls.
You're supposed to beat it until it starts pooping out the candy.
Oh, it's like a pinata.
Kinda, yeah.
Except it's
on the ground.
So yeah.
And it doesn't break.
It doesn't break. You just keep smacking it around.
Risk of splinters.
Until it, like, all the candy begins to fall out the back end of it. All
right.
So somehow we found a way to tie in both mine and Pete's traditions into one, because now it's like a beating poop thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you could beat it and then poop. I don't understand the poop as candy, but that does seem like a kid thing to say. Also, I guess this is literally beating the crap out of something.
I mean, I guess, wow.
Yeah, all right. Good. Christmas.
Merry Krampus.
Yeah, that seems painful. Does anybody have another one they would like to share?
Well, I don't have anything about poop.
All right, good.
But, I mean, I don't know any really weird Christmas traditions. You know, just the normal stuff. Santa Claus, his elves, La Befana, the Italian Christmas witch. You guys know about La Befana, the Italian Christmas witch, right?
I kind of feel as though I should.
Yes.
Well, Befana is the Italian word for Epiphany, or Little Christmas, the day 2 weeks after Christmas, or actually 12 days after Christmas, where the 12 days of Christmas come from.
Oh, that was
January
6th. All right.
Yeah, the 12 days of Christmas come after Christmas, actually.
What? All right. We don't understand any of this. Bro, you just trust us, audience.
But it's also the name for a witch. And the story goes that there was an old woman who lived at the center of the town square. She was a widow. She never had children. And one night, the three wise men came to her door and explained that they were looking for the newborn king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she didn't know anything about it. And they asked, well, do you want to come look for him with us? And she said, no, I don't have time for that. And so they left. And then a couple of days later, she realized, oh, wait, no, I should have gone with them. I should show my respect. So she made a bunch of gifts to give the king and went off in search of him.
So she was a crafter? That's the saddest part of the tale.
Yeah, apparently. She was a big DIYer.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
Kind of like Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
But she went after the three kings, but she couldn't find them because they had a couple of days head start. And she went searching for the baby Jesus, couldn't find him. And so to this day, she's now going around looking for the baby Jesus. But because she doesn't know who he is, she gives presents to every child.
Oh, all right. Good. So she rewards flies the Jesus in all of us.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just to hedge her bets.
Query.
Yeah.
How is she a witch?
Well, she flies around on a broom.
All right. Well, there you go.
She's also known as Stria, which is Italian for witch.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. So, but she doesn't seem malevolent at all. So,
well, I mean, she was... I kind of downplayed how cranky and mean she was when she was first approached.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, like, if three, like, wise men walk up, like, hey, we're going to go find, you know, our Lord and Savior. Want to come with? And they'd be like, no, I've got better things to do, like, be alone and
at very least, I would question their credentials. You're wise, but did you go to an accredited university? What is your degree in, wise man? You know, you ask follow-up questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's reasonable.
But you know, she's just cranky and mean. And she does punish bad children.
There we go.
Not as bad as some of them. She gives them coal, but not...
Doesn't make them mine it forever.
And it's not real coal. It's called Carbone Dolce della Bafana.
That sounds delicious.
It's the sweet coal of the Bafana.
Like, is it like chocolate? Is it dark chocolate?
Yeah, basically.
Man, the Wiccans are right.
It's candy
witches
chocolate.
Witches are awesome.
Yeah.
We should all be witches. That's what I learned this Christmas.
So even if I don't get the Transformer I went for this Christmas, if I'm bad, I still get like a chocolate. So
you
that's
get
cool.
some dark-ass chocolate. That's great.
It works out. Yeah.
Man.
But you do have to leave out cookies for her, much like Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
This is a high maintenance weird witch,
and they're specific. They're specific cookies.
Oh, so it's biscottis?
Befanini.
Oh, okay.
Right. Which are cookies? A lot of stuff is named after her.
And do you have a recipe for these cookies?
Actually, I do, but I'm not sharing it.
That'll be included later.
All right, in the show notes. That's interesting.
That's a lie. It's not going to be in the show notes. Don't go looking.
I'll find something.
Okay.
So anyways.
Not mine.
I see that we have some more modern weird traditions that we'd like to share with you. Al?
Yeah, like in recent history, actually, over in Japan, KFC...
The weirdest of countries.
I mean...
Finally. Finally getting away from our Eurocentric garbage.
The Far East. The Dark East.
Damn,
let's
whitey.
Other the hell out of... I'm sorry. I'm just continue.
Anyway. At one point, KFC did this huge holiday push over in Japan about like bringing home buckets of KFC for the family.
Several buckets. As many as you could carry.
So much to the point that at this, it is now a tradition.
Don't eat them. Just throw them at the wall. Just as hard as you can.
It is tradition now in Japan to get buckets of KFC for Christmas dinner. Like, normally, like, when you think of Christmas dinner, we think of, like, oh, either a turkey or a ham or, like, a home-cooked meal. Mm-hmm. Japan, it's like, no, we go out to our big fast food chain and bring home buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
That's interesting. And actually, I can corroborate this. In the Middle East, KFC is considered, like, gourmet fancy food. It's really expensive. And it's considered like, oh, this is a treat. We're going to go out, put on a suit and tie. I don't know about that. And actually have Kentucky Fried Chicken. Although nobody calls it Kentucky Fried Chicken. It is
just
KFC.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just what's common for us is ridiculously uncommon or strange for different countries. So.
I guess because it is in our culture, it is such a treat to have home-cooked meals anymore.
That's also
as
true.
As opposed to other cultures where that's kind of the standard and it's the treat to go out and get it from somewhere else.
Right. Plus, bad Japanese children are forced to work at KFCs in their underground coal mines.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's how they get the chicken to be so well done.
Coal. Yeah.
That's a coal. Secret ingredient.
Kentucky Fried Coal is what it is. You know what the thing is? I bet you anything that you have to like order your KFC bucket months in advance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to picture working in a Japanese KFC at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. It's like, how long does this prep take?
I imagine forever because like they do exactly what you said. There's no like everyone just walks down to KFC and picks it up. No, there's like reservations on like we have to go there and we have to pick it up and put it exactly weeks or sometimes like months
only,
in advance.
There's only so many pressure cookers in any KFC. How do you serve that many?
I don't know.
It's a Christmas mystery.
It is.
Or a miracle.
I'm glad that's the only weird thing they do in Japan on Christmas.
So yeah, along with the marketing geniuses at KFC, they also try to like spin you into buying these small little strawberry shortcakes too. So you kind of have to make these like two expensive stops on like one of the busiest days of the year to go out.
I'll be honest, that sounds a lot better than what we do, where our traditional cake is like a fruit cake, which everyone apparently hates. Allegedly and like, I would unedible. Much rather go strawberry shortcake mm. and like buy one of those than like tough through a fruit cake.
Do the strawberry shortcakes have to come from a particular store?
No, not really. It's just they just have these like, you know, it's a cute little like sponge cake with the white stuff, and you got like the nice, pretty little strawberries on top of it.
You know what I mm-hmm. this reminds me of, which I also kind of didn't understand, even though it's fairly common, is do any of you, especially those of you who celebrate Christmas in this room who could answer me, have like a Christmas tradition about oranges?
I don't, but I have seen a lot of this.
Yeah. So apparently, before globalization took over, oranges were just a rare treat.
This is true.
And that you, it was very hard to get, and that you would get it on Christmas as a special treat, as an imported thing, which is interesting, and it kind of makes sense. It really does say a lot about what our current society is like and how we're built on this, you know, this crazy global network where you could get out of season fruit relatively easily at any time, at least in America as of now. But I guess what's weird about it for me is seeing all the like 40s and 50 era vintage art that references the orange as a Christmas thing. Now it's because out of context, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why are oranges a Christmas fruit? But I guess that's it. It's just that it used to be a treat.
I would actually come to think of it, I would frequently get an orange in my stocking for no particular reason.
There you go. Like lots of things, no reason.
I think the weird one, the thing that really threw me for a loop, and this is particularly big in Britain, is the chocolate oranges.
Oh, remember when that first came over. Like, in America, we first started being aware of them.
Yeah, they're, like, so weird.
I love them.
Oh, really? I hate them. I hate chocolate and orange together.
Okay.
I think it's just a terrible combination.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so into it. I like, and when you were talking about that, the witch with the dark chocolate coal, I was like, oh, maybe that's the origin of the... It's so what do they are? There's big orange balls, you crack them, and they split into orange slices. Mm-hmm. And it's not chocolate-covered orange slices, it's just orange-infused chocolate that breaks off like it's an orange.
Yeah.
So they're segmented out. And I like the dark chocolate ones with orange. Maybe that's the reason why I like it, because it's a little bit of bitter and a little bit of sweet. I really am big into it. So speaking of bitter and sweet, I'm going to leave it the way we started things off. What's really weird about Christmas are the random horror elements that sneak in. That's true of mainstream like films. There's a lot of horror movies that get released around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And it's also true of ancient traditions. So this one comes from Icelandic folklore.
Ooh.
It's the Grýla. The Grýla is the mother of the Yule Lads. So first I'm going to talk a little bit about the Yule Lads. The Yule Lads are a group of trolls in Icelandic folklore. And they all perform like some horrible Christmas mischief. I don't know why they're doing this, but they're trolls, and the mischief is kind of in the name. So there are characters called Spoonlicker and Doorway Sniffer. Just these weirdos who just go around like mutants in a bad X-Men novel with one particular power, and they are named way too on point, and they just do a bunch of jerk stuff. And their mother is the Grýla.
Like licking your spoons.
Yeah, that would be really disgusting.
That would be weird,
I hate to have all my spoons licked on Christmas morning. That being said, the Grýla, their mother, the Ogress, is a little bit more hardcore. She, of course, like all these other monsters, abducts bad children. In this case, she abducts them not to work in eternal servitude or to beat them, but to boil and eat them. They are consumed for being bad. And this is a thing. This is a savage, cannibalistic, I guess, ogress who is near and dear to Icelandic folklore.
So, okay, so instead of, like, you know, our traditional Christmas meals or even KFC, they go out for baby back ribs. I got it.
Yes, absolutely. Apparently, the secret to getting away from the Grýla is if you repent. She has to release you because she could only get bad children. So I hope it's weird in that, like, it seems like it's very easy for a child to say, I repent.
Yeah, but what's also really strange is, like, what's the, like, parameter here for good versus bad child? Like, how do these, like, mythical creatures even know? And what's the, like, oh man, I didn't like take out the trash that one time. Do I get eaten for that?
Clearly, these children are not like are not murderers. They have to be responsible for these minor infractions, like again, not doing chores. And their punishment is either servitude or death. No wonder why Krampus is the most popular one, because he just beat you a little.
Yeah.
You know, that's not bad. getting beaten by Santa's gimp.
Oh, jeez. You're not wrong.
Good night, everybody.
And a very happy holidays from all of us here at Nonproductive to all of you out in internet land.
Somebody just squealed in the middle of that. But all right, yeah, we're good.
And that's what Christmas is all about.
Mm, squealing in the middle.
I was going to go for a God bless us, everyone.
Oh, all right.
You want me to do it again? Or?
No, it's okay.
I think we're good. Al, you want to do a God bless us, everyone?
God bless us, everyone!
It's not a good night, everybody.
This has been a Nonproductive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Nonproductive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.